Bibles to the book of Isaiah. Now, Isaiah chapter 6. I believe I read more in devotional reading, and just pick up the Bible and turn to a passage of Scripture. I guess I read in the Psalms more than I do any other Old Testament book. But next to the Psalms, I believe I spend more time in the book of Isaiah than any of the Old Testament books. Isaiah is quoted more in the New Testament than any other book except Psalms in the Old Testament. And when John the forerunner began his ministry, he began his ministry quoting Isaiah chapter 40. In other words, chapter 40 of Isaiah foretells and prophesies the ministry of John the Baptist. And then when our Lord Jesus Christ returned to Nazareth, where he was brought up, and went to the synagogue and spoke for the first time to all of the townspeople, he turned to the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, and preached from that scripture, Isaiah 61. And then the eunuch, when he was returning from Jerusalem to his home country of Ethiopia, and God sent the preacher, Philip, to preach to him, he was reading Isaiah. And Philip began at that same scripture and preached unto him the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone called the book of Isaiah the gospel according to Isaiah. And it is a clear declaration and presentation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and his substitutionary work. But you know, there's a verse of scripture in John that sums up the writings of Isaiah. Let's turn to that just a moment. John chapter 12. This one verse, which John writes about Isaiah in John 12, verse 41, I think sums up the book of Isaiah better than any other single statement. John said in John 12, 41, "These things said Isaiah," Isaias is Isaiah, "when he saw his glory and spake of him." When Isaiah saw his glory, whose glory? The glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. What was his message? It was Christ. And when any man sees Christ and the glory of Christ, Christ will be his message. No question about it. We talk about what is most glorious and most wonderful to us, or most beautiful. That which is most impressive, we talk the most about. And when Isaiah saw his glory, when he saw his glory, Christ became the theme of his ministry and the theme of his writings. Well, when was it that he saw his glory? Well, here it is in Isaiah chapter 6. He saw his glory. Now, I don't have any confidence in dreams and visions in this day, because the Word of God is complete. But back here in the Old Testament, God spoke to his prophets. He said, in different ways and different times, God spake to our fathers by the prophets. Well, how did he speak to the prophets? The prophets wrote the scripture. How did he speak to them? He spoke to them by dreams and visions. God literally spoke to them, taught these prophets, and they taught the people. And here he showed Isaiah his glory. Isaiah saw his glory. God spake to the prophets in this manner. He doesn't need to speak to us this way in dreams and visions. We have the word. We have the scriptures. The completed scriptures, all that we need to know about God, about salvation, about life, about himself, about ourselves, about redemption, right here in the Word. And Isaiah said this himself. If any man speaks not according to the law and the prophets, according to the word of God, it's because there's no truth in him. So if I come to you with a dream, Isaiah can come to us with a dream and a vision and a direct revelation from God. But don't trust any man today who comes to you with anything apart from the word or in addition to the word. In fact, when John closed the book of Revelation, he said if anybody adds to the words of this book, God will add to him the plagues of this book. If any man takes away from the words of this book, God will take away from him his name from the book of life. So the word is complete, the canon of Scripture. But Isaiah saw the Lord. Now let's see in chapter 6. When did he see the Lord? When did he see his glory? It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne. Who was King Uzziah? King Uzziah was the 10th king after David. And young people, listen carefully to what I'm saying here. Uzziah was the 10th king after David. He began to reign over Israel when he was just 16 years old. And he reigned 52 years. What kind of king was he? Good king. A good king. A benevolent king. Very impressive. Very impressive. Great king. One who loved the people and one who loved God. I believe we'll see Uzziah in glory. Turn, if you will, for just a moment to 2 Chronicles, chapter 26. And you can read this, all of this later, but this chapter tells us a great deal about Uzziah and the things he did for the people. He had an army of 375,000 men who defended the nation. He built things for the people. It says here in verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men to be on the towers, upon the bulwarks, to shoot arrows and great stones withal. His name spread far abroad. He was marvelously helped till he was strong. He was a great king, a benevolent king, a good king, a beloved king, a powerful king, a strong man. But verse 16, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction. Pride. For he transgressed against the Lord his God, and he went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. Now, listen to right here just a moment. In the Old Testament, God gave to Israel the temple and the priesthood, the tabernacle and the priesthood, and the incense, which is a type of Christ's sacrifice and prayers and the sacrifices, the atonement, the mercy seat. And God ordained priests, a high priest and other priests, to come before him for the people, to represent the people in things pertaining to God. And these priests were pictures of Christ. Christ is our high priest. I read that for you a moment ago. Christ is our atonement. Christ is our intercessor and our mediator. But until Christ came, these priests stood as the representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, as types of Christ. But here, Uzziah the king is a proud man, and he's going to go around that priest. He's just going to do away with the priest. He's going to bring a sacrifice to God himself. He's going to burn incense. Saul did the same thing. King Saul offered a sacrifice, don't you remember? And Samuel said to him, why did you do this? He said, well, you weren't here. The ordained priest and prophet wasn't here, and we're going into battle, so I offered a sacrifice. And Samuel said to obey is better than sacrifice. And God destroyed Saul for that. And I'll show you some more illustration, but let's read on here a minute. Verse 17, and Azariah the priest went in after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord that were valiant men. And they withstood Uzziah the king. They said, it appertaineth not unto thee, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but to the priest, the sons of Aaron. It appertaineth not to me to offer a sacrifice. Christ did that. The Cain came without the blood, and God destroyed him, rejected him. And this is what they're saying to the king. The priests, the sons of Aaron, that are consecrated to burn incense, go out of the sanctuary. You trespass. Neither shall it be for your honor from the Lord. This is not something God will honor you for which God will honor you. This is not something that will be pleasing to God for you to go ahead of the priest. And Uzziah was angry, and he had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was angry with the priest, leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priest in the house of God from beside the incense altar. And Azariah the chief priest and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous in his forehead, and they thrust him out from thence. Leprosy was judgment of God. And they threw him out. Yea, himself hasted also to go out because the Lord had smitten him. And Uzziah the king was a leper until the day of his death. And that's Isaiah said, when he died, I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. Let's read on here in chapter 6 now. I saw the Lord. Saw the righteousness of God, the holiness of God. I saw the Lord. Now, who is this he's talking about? I saw. It's not God. He didn't see the Father. Not God, who God is spirit. Not God, who is absolute. No man has seen God, the Father. God said that to Moses. Even Moses, you can't look upon me and live. No man can see me and live. God dwells in a light to which no man can approach. He saw the Lord Jesus. That's who he saw. He saw the Lord Jehovah. And I saw him, listen, I saw him sitting on a throne. Saw him sitting on a throne, having finished his work, sat down. The Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at my right hand. David wrote that in Psalm 110. I saw the Lord Jesus. Having finished his sacrifice, finished his righteousness, finished his redemptive work, sat down upon the throne. Listen, high and lifted up. Not the throne lifted up, the person. It's not the throne that we exalt, it's the person. He saw him, he spake of him. High and lifted up. God hath given him a name above every name. That is the name of Jesus, every knee bow. And his train, listen, his train filled the temple. What's his train? Well, it's his glory. I know that. But it's his priestly garments. It fills the temple. What's the temple? His temple. Universe. It fills the universe. His priestly garments, his kingly garments, his glory fills the universe. Look at Psalm 19 a moment. Psalm 19. I think this refers to this scripture, Psalm 19. Listen to this. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. No, not a place in this universe where God's voice is not heard, where God's glory is not seen, Whither shall I go from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in the deepest part of the earth, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, there your hand guides me. No speech, no language, no tribe where the voice of God's creation is not seen, his glory. Verse 9, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Now watch. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run the race. His goings forth is from the end of heaven, his circus to the end of it, and nothing hid from the heat thereof. The sun. The whole universe is a tabernacle, a temple for the sun. And there isn't a spot anywhere in the universe where the sun's rays and heat is not felt and seen. The sun is the center of the universe. And the whole universe, he has made a tabernacle for the sun. Even though a little leaf casts a shade, the sun's rays are still there. Not a spot. And that's what Isaiah saw here, the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his glory, his presence, his train filled the universe. Not a place where Christ is not preeminent. God has given him a name above every name. He's given him all preeminence. Christ. Christ Jesus alone. That's who I saw. All right. Let's read the next verse. And above it, above that throne, stood the seraphims. What are seraphims? Well, these are angels of fire, burning fire, heavenly creatures, heavenly messengers. I do not know. But they're heavenly creatures. Isaiah saw these creatures. Above the throne, two of them evidently. Because it says, each one, and maybe there were more, but each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he did fly. Why did these heavenly creatures cover their faces? They covered their faces before his glory. Indescribable, unspeakable glory. And even the heavenly creatures, the glory and holiness of God, of Christ, covered their faces in humility before his presence. And they covered their feet, conscious of the imperfection of their walk. Covered their faces, covered their feet, and with two wings they did fly rapidly to declare his glory and his holiness everywhere. Whom do these seraphims represent? They represent his messengers, all of his messengers, all of his ambassadors, all of his preachers, all of those who minister his word, who also in his presence cover their faces. They said to John, well, who are you? Are you the Christ? Oh, no. Are you that prophet? Oh, no. Well, who are you? Just a voice. Nobody. Paul says, who is Cephas? Who is Apollos? Who is Paul? Nothing. Just messengers by whom you heard the gospel. We're nothing. They cover their faces because they know themselves to be nobody. Nothing. Darcy was working a crossword puzzle last night. She came up on a six-letter word. She had four of them. P-H-E-R. She said, what is a non-entity? I said, how many letters? Six. Got any of them? P-H-E-R. I said, I think one time I read a cipher, C-I-P-H-E-R, is nothing. A non-entity. She said, I haven't heard that word. I said, well, look it up in the dictionary. There it is. Cipher, zero. Non-entity. Nobody. That's us. Mr. Cipher, how do you do? Cover your face. And listen, they covered their feet. They don't leave any footprints for anybody to follow. This bothers me a great deal about all these biographies and autobiographies and diaries and journals that preachers have kept, even recorded their prayers. I don't understand. These seraphims covered their faces in his presence and covered their feet. They leave no footprints. We don't follow one another. We follow him. Don't leave any footprints. David ministered to his generation. You minister to yours, and when you're through, move on. God will raise up his preacher. And with two, they did make haste to proclaim the message. What was the message? Listen. And they cried, verse 3, one to another, whether anybody else believed them or not, they told one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You know, this vision started with the death of a king. God's going to show Isaiah his holiness, his righteousness. This king, actually it says Isaiah wrote everything that Isaiah did. He admired this man. And it started off with the death of this king. And God killed him when he was violating the person work of Christ. He didn't spare him. He didn't spare the sons of Aaron who brought strange fire. He didn't spare Moses who smote the rock. Did you know that? Moses smote the rock and God killed him for smiting the rock. He violated the gospel. Compromised the work of Christ. Uzzah, you remember Uzzah who reached back and touched the ark? God killed him. And he spared not his own son when sin was found upon him. Christ died because he bore sin. That's why he died. He died for not for his sin. He was wounded for sin. Our transgressions, our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. God spared not his own son when sin was found on him. And here, that's God's declared that message on earth. It's so hard for men to hear. But the gospel will not be compromised. Won't work. Even the choice men, Isaiah, Uzzah, Moses, even his son, will not be spared where sin is. Sin must be dealt with, and God's holiness must be satisfied. Now here in heaven, that holiness is declared. And here is a sinful man viewing the Lord on his throne. Here's Isaiah. Here's the heavenly creatures about the throne. Here the whole universe is filled with his glory. And these creatures are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now watch this. And the post of the door. Matthew Poole says, the foundations of the thresholds moved at the voice of him that cried. The house was filled with smoke. Think of how awesome this vision, this sight is. The thresholds, the posts, the foundations seemed to quiver. And the whole place was filled with smoke. What does this smoke mean? Well, you know, smoke, as incense, represents the mediation of Christ. It was when the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and offered the atonement, he carried the censer, and the smoke filled the place. But that's a pleasant smoke. That's mediation, intercession of Christ. But over in Exodus 19, turn over there just a moment. Exodus chapter 19. And it's a different kind of smoke. Exodus 19, verse 17. And here they are standing before Sinai. Let's look at verse 16 of Exodus 19. It came to pass on the third day in the morning, there was thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount, and Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. This is the smoke of wrath, judgment, against these people, Israel. And I believe that's what Isaiah is seeing here. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple, his glory. And the heavenly creatures cried, holy, holy, holy. And the whole earth was full of his glory. And the foundation shook when he spoke. And the whole place was full of smoke. Verse 5, and I cried. I fell back and I cried. Woe is me. I'm undone. I preached on this down in Mexico. Walter was translating. And I came to verse 5, and woe is me. Isaiah saw the Lord. Then he saw himself, and he cried, I'm undone. And Walter said in Spanish, in our Bible, Spanish Bible, it says, I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm a dead man. I'm a dead man. I'm reduced to silence. I'm cut off. I'm ruined. I'm a dead man. He saw the Lord. And he said here, because, I tell you why I'm a dead man. Because I'm not holy. Because I'm a man of unclean lips. Why did he say lips? That's not our problem. No, our problem is the heart. But out of the heart, the lips speak. Out of the heart, the lips speak. The lips are the outlet of the heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart. As a man thinketh in his heart, so does he speak. The fountain has a faucet. But it's not the faucet that's poisonous, it's the water that comes out of it. And that's what he's saying there. He's saying, I'm a man with a wicked heart. I'm dead. I'm cut off. Everything that comes out of my fountain is polluted and corrupted. You know, a fella can, we can look at other people like the Pharisee. We can pick out some that are worse off, worse than we are. Pharisee looked at the publican and said, Lord, I thank you, I'm not like him. We may look at others and say, I'm not like other men. We may look at the rules and regulations of religion, like Saul of Tarsus did, and say, I'm blameless. But I tell you, when an individual ever sees the Lord, when we see him in his glory, in his holiness, in his righteousness, in his character, we'll say with Isaiah, I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm undone. I'm cut off. That's the response from anyone who has seen the Lord. Doesn't matter who it is. He said, well, I'm a man of unclean lips. And not only that, he saw everybody else in the same condition. He said, I dwell in the midst of a people with wicked hearts and unclean lips. And I tell you why I've come to this conclusion. For mine eyes have seen the King. I've seen the Lord of hosts. I've seen the King. And when he saw him, he spake of his glory. All right, let's look at verse 6. Then. I stopped right there. Then. When he saw the Lord. And then he saw himself. And he just cried, I'm dead. I'm undone. I'm cut off. Hopeless. And then. God's holiness is seen before God's mercy is revealed. Guilt always precedes grace. Misery will always precede mercy. The disease will be revealed before the remedy. The curse is experienced before the cross. Our helplessness and hopelessness will be revealed to us before his power and strength and grace is revealed. Then, now watch this. Then flew one of those seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it, that live burning coal, on my mouth. And said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Now that may be difficult for us to interpret. And I looked at it and have looked at it many, many times. But what is said in verse 7, the last line of verse 7, clearly shows us what this is all about. It says, your iniquity is taken away, and your sins are purged. There's not but one person who can take iniquity away. That's Christ. This has got to be talking about the gospel. There's not but one person who can purge sin. It says he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And it says in Hebrews 1, verse 3, by himself he purged our sins. So I know what verse 6 and 7 means. Because it tells me that as a result of what happened here, this man's sins were taken away. And his iniquity was purged. So this has to be, listen. The seraphim is God's preacher. He came from the throne. He came from God. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. God sent this seraphim. The burning live coal was taken off the altar. The altar is the cross. The sacrifice. The altar is where the lamb was slain and its body burned, wasn't it? And that's what the cross is. That's where Christ was slain. That's where his body and his soul was made an offering for sin. And this seraphim, he got his gospel from the cross. But he didn't touch it. He used tongs. Human hands can't handle the gospel. Human hands can't touch it. We make no contribution to it. We're not any part of it. It's separate and apart. Honestly, a lost man could stand up here and proclaim the death of Christ. That's right. Preachers all over the world, some of them do not know Christ, but they stand up and they read this. They read the Bible. They don't take away from the glory of the gospel, and I don't add to it. You understand what I'm saying? They don't take away. The gospel is glorious. It's true. It's saving. It's powerful. And he took it with tongs. He didn't touch it. He didn't want to part. He didn't make it effectual. He couldn't touch it. But with tongs, he took it off the altar, and that gospel, that burning fire, that blood of Christ, that righteousness of Christ itself touched Isaiah's lips. It came where the problem was. Came where the guilt was, where the sin was. Touched that place and sanctified it and purified it. And he said, your sins are taken away. Your sins are purged. You're clean. You're clean. That gospel, it's the blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. It's the blood of Christ that makes us holy. Now he's dead no more. Now he's cut off no more. Now he's brought nigh. He's clean by the gospel. Your sins are purged and put away. You see that? That's the gospel. The seraphim is the messenger, the minister of the gospel. The live coal is the blood of Christ our Lord, the righteousness of Christ our Lord, the saving power of Christ, the gospel. And it's not touched. We don't add to it. We don't take away from it. Demas may depart, but the gospel goes on. Paul may preach. God use him, but he doesn't make it effectual. It's the gospel. It's the power of God and salvation. And your sins are put away. Then, watch this, and I'll close. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? We've got a message to preach. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How they shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? How are they going to hear without preaching? How shall they preach except they be sent? And who's going to be sent? He said, whom shall I send? Over in Matthew 9, it says, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields. They're white already to harvest. Pray ye that the Lord of the harvest, that he'll send forth laborers. Lord, send us a preacher. Well, whom shall I send? Isaiah said, here am I. You can send me. What makes you think you? What makes you think you equipped to go? Well, number one, I've seen the Lord. I've seen the Lord, the true living God. I've seen his holiness. I've seen him, his preeminence. I've seen him high and lifted up. I've seen him seated on the throne. I've seen his glory that fills the temple. I've seen myself, what I am and who I am. And I've seen the people and what they are and who they are and their needs. I've experienced the gospel. I've experienced the live, living, burning fire of the gospel. It's changed my life and my heart and my language. It's changed me. I'll go. I'll tell them. I'll tell them, he said. And then God said in verse 9, here's the sad thing. You go and you tell them, hear ye indeed, but they won't understand. See ye indeed, but they won't perceive. They'll hear you. You'll go. But by nature, they won't hear and they won't believe. You can't convince them. You don't have that kind of power. But he can. Who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's where we're shut up, just like Isaiah was. He didn't know anything till God showed it to him. He didn't know anything till God taught him. He didn't see anything till God showed him. He didn't know anything about himself till God revealed it to him. So we go and we preach and we pray that he might make it effectual. This is the glory of God. When he saw his glory, he spake of him. All right, Mike, come lead us in a closing hymn, if you will.